morning, everyone. We are going to
do our basics call today. We are working on evaluating, assessing, and celebrating, which is really important to the whole process. I'm going to give everybody a couple minutes to get in. So if you are watching the replay, if you don't want to hear me banter for a minute or two, you can always fast forward, or you can join me where we're at. My hair is looking jacked on the side. If you don't know, I'll give you a little personal info. I am trying to let my hair grow out some. This is, for short hair people, always a painful process. It is, actually, it's not that bad. I mean, I don't want to talk about it like it's terrible. It's slow. You know, it's like you have to go through bad hair days and things like that. Usually when you have short hair, it's hard. Like, I will just tell you, you get so accustomed to having a good hair day every single day. So when you're letting your hair grow out, it's like, wow, new circumstance. So today was one of those days where I have, if you don't know, I've always cut my hair with a number two guard. So I have what's called the undercut, where they shave it all the way around and then the top is longer. And so I'm letting my hair grow out, which means I've got to let all this little stuff grow out. So I don't know if you guys can see, but it's gotten pretty, that's the longer part, but some of it's getting longer, but it means that it stands up like a raccoon or like a porcupine first thing in the morning. So I have to put grease on it and all kinds of junk to get it to lay down. So today, though, we're going to talk about evaluating, and I think this is an important one. So do me a favor, if you're just joining us, please make sure that you tag some of your people. Make sure that we have plenty of our No BS women coming in here. One thing that we are going to be changing up for next month, I just want to go ahead and announce this. Starting next month, we're going to remove everything off of Facebook Live unless I go live spontaneously, where I just want to pop in and tell you guys something. We're going to put everything back on Zoom. We have been finding it's getting harder and harder for you guys to find the lives. Facebook has been, basically they're changing around how they notify people, their algorithms, they're always changing. I can control Zoom. I cannot control Facebook. So one of the things that we are going to do, and we will have everything on the calendar, is that when we have my usual Q&As, when we are on regular schedule, we're just going to go all the way Zoom. And then that way you guys can join over there. It also helps a lot of people. If you don't know, we have quite a few people in the membership who can't watch Facebook at work. So it's like if they're at work and they just want to listen to something, they could listen to a Zoom because there's no firewall. But when they're at work, they can't listen to a Facebook Live. So the good news is that we always put everything that I ever do always goes into the private membership. So you're not going to miss anything. Even if you're doing Facebook Lives with me throughout the entire Basics 2.0, all of the people who are watching replays, they're either catching them in the private member podcast or they're catching them as the video replay on the membership site. So we're just going to take everything over to Zoom. I think what it will do is make it all super simple. You will always just go to one place. If you want to see me, you'll be going to Zoom. You won't have to worry about, is this on Facebook or is this in Zoom? What is this? We're just going to put it in one place. We think it'll make it so much easier for everyone. So with that, let's get started. And that will start in June. So we're going to finish out this month so that nobody freaks out. We will be finishing Basics 2.0 inside of Facebook because we're going to finish it how we started it so that no one's confused. We're just talking about June. And if you're sitting there wondering, well, how will I find this stuff? Where do you get notifications and all this other junk? Guys, if you just go to nobswomen.com, log into your membership site. If you haven't been logging in over there, you're missing out on your entire membership. Facebook is not the membership. Facebook is where we chat when we want to chat. The majority of our users don't use Facebook. A lot of them barely use it once a week. Everything that we do in terms of all of the courses, workbooks, video replays, everything that we do is over there. So if you haven't been there in a while and you're sitting around wondering, like, I don't know, I don't ever seem to like hear much other than in the Facebook group, you haven't logged in. You need to go to nobswomen.com, get logged in. One other thing that I will tell everyone, if you also are like, I don't ever seem to see any kind, like, what do you mean? There's 3 or 4 private member podcasts a week that drop where there's coaching and all kinds of stuff. If you are sitting there and you're like, my podcast player hasn't updated in a long time, you're probably one of the people who a few months ago, when we updated to a much simpler podcast player, didn't install the new one. The old one no longer works because it was complicated as fuck and didn't always work. So we invested and we leveled everything up tremendously. If that's you, if you're like, my podcast player hasn't been updating with membership stuff, if you don't see anything that says Nobius Lives, Nobius Courses, beautiful graphics like that, then you need to go over to email us at support@pnptribe.com and you can ask for your link to be able to get your podcast player installed. You have to ask us for a link, though, because it's connected to your membership, because we don't want just anybody in the world listening to our membership material. And then for all of you, if you did not know, at any time, if you want to contact support, there is a cool feature on NoBSWomen.com. If you just log in, there's a blue question mark on every single page. If you click the blue question mark and you type in your name, email address, and question, that automatically goes to support. And we won't miss it at all. Sometimes what happens is you guys email us at support and you'll type in .con, or you'll have some kind of firewall up at your work where it won't let things out. It thinks it's going, or we'll email you back and it thinks we're spam and all this other stuff. If you use the question mark feature, you, by 1,000% increase making sure that it gets to the right people. There's no typos there. There will be no, it's connected to your account. So if you even mistype your email, we can find you. So I would use that blue question mark like a freaking boss if it was me. And I wanted to get in touch with the support desk. Okay. All right. Let's get going for today. Effective feedback loops. This is what we're going to be talking about today. So we're talking about assessing and celebrating. So when you are doing the basics, this is what I watch a lot of you guys do. You half-ass assess or don't assess, because when you assess, you basically talk to yourself like an asshole. So there's one reason why a lot of you are like, well, I don't like assessing, because when you assess, you're filled with thoughts of like, well, it's not good enough. I should be doing this better by now. Everybody else is losing weight faster than me. I saw some girl that's been in here 2 weeks more than me, and it looks like she's got her hunger cues down. If when you assess, you have a lot of shitty thoughts, guess what happens? You are not going to want to assess so that you don't feel bad about yourself. So you give up the assessing, which allows you, when you give up the assessing, you also ignore figuring your shit out. So the answer isn't to quit assessing. If you feel bad when you assess, the answer is, oh, that's the next step in the process for me. I think what I'm supposed to learn is how to talk to myself better. Wouldn't it be amazing if I could go through life and when things aren't going perfectly, I learned how to have my own back. I learned how to change the conversation. I learned how to talk to myself in a way where I learn and I grow and I find answers. But what most of you do is you give up on assessing, because if it's not perfect, you don't change how you think about yourself. You just let yourself assume that you're broken and that something's wrong. The key to weight loss is going to be changing that inner conversation. This is what I did. So when I talk to you guys all the time about, I can give you my basics. I can tell you how I got off the couch, you know, in 15 minutes. I can tell you the practical things I did. But if you listen to my story over the years, I tell you a lot about how I would catch myself thinking like the old version, and it would, like, I would start feeling defeated, or I would feel hopeless, or I would feel not good enough. And I knew, like, the one thought that really drove me was, that's not helpful. Like, it dawned on me finally when I was losing weight. I could not keep thinking that way. Like there was a connection that was made in my brain that when I allowed myself to keep talking to myself as if I was a failure, as if I was someone who couldn't lose weight, if I was genetically predisposed to stay overweight all my life, if every time I made a mistake, I went like hard as a motherfucker on myself, which is what ham is for all of you who always ask, what's going ham? Ham means hard as a motherfucker. If I'd go ham on myself with negative feedback, I was really starting to pay attention to like, I never seem to keep going when that happens. It seems like right before I ever quit on myself, it's because I've talked to myself horribly. So if that is the precursor to quitting and the precursor to stop doing things, then I probably should try to think other ways. What would keep me going? What is something I can see in this moment? Guys, I'm going to tell you that right there. Like when, if y'all want to know what was the magic in my weight loss, like if there was only, people ask me this all the time. If you could tell people only one thing, what would you tell women that they need to know in order to lose their weight? It's always that. We have to get better at listening to how we're talking to ourselves. And if any of the conversation feels like shit, we got to talk to ourselves in a way that doesn't. Because when you start learning how to change that conversation, then the basics become so much easier to do. They become so much simpler. You're willing to do one little thing at a time. There's so many things that start happening. So like for me, I did not allow myself to think that the small things that I was doing was not good enough. I knew thinking that this isn't good enough. This is never going to get me where I needed to go. I was like, oh no, that's wrong. Here's the truth, Corinne. What's not good enough is you sitting around beating yourself up. You sitting around thinking that you got to do everything today. It's like, we just got to get through today with what we can do today. Tomorrow, maybe we'll feel like doing more. Like I stayed in such a mindset like that. This is why I want to cover it, because today is all about effective feedback loops that help you naturally level up. That's what happened for me. The more I got better at talking to myself, I was willing to do a little bit more along the way. If I got caught in a negative feedback loop, I would either stall out, be afraid to try things, like bash myself when I'd make a mistake, learn nothing, eat a little bit more to feel better about how I was bashing myself. That feedback loop was never working. So I needed an effective one that helped me level up a little bit at a time. So I want you to watch for a negative mindset. Negative mindset often sounds like this. So let's all pretend that we are doing our 24-hour assessment. You can be doing the assessment. You could be doing your weekly weigh-in and assessment. Anytime that you're going to be looking back and evaluating. Here's some of the bullshit to watch out for. Number one, going into it thinking, okay, I'm going to assess. What did I do wrong? A lot of us go into assessments with this mindset of asking a question like, what did I do wrong? It's not helpful. I'm going to give you the other mindset shifts in just a moment, but I want you to listen for, are you doing this? Are you starting your assessments with, okay, this is where I look at all the things I do wrong? Not helpful. It probably doesn't feel good. It probably doesn't feel terrible. Maybe it does, but it probably doesn't feel motivating. It doesn't feel insightful. It doesn't feel curious. Then the next one, this won't matter. A lot of you are going into your assessments thinking it won't matter. I just write the same shit every single day. Guys, that's not facts. That is how you are looking at it. Watch how you talk about it. This won't matter is a huge, terrible thought. It's also one that's limiting. If it won't matter, eventually you'll stop doing it. The only reason you'll keep doing something is if you're thinking about what it could change, how it could matter. The other thing is like on this won't matter, same shit, like the basically what we're going to get to in just a second. Oh, I'll just go ahead and do this one. Same shit, different day. If you're sitting there thinking like, I just write the same stuff every day, same shit, different day, that's unmotivating. There's no oomph behind it. It's energetically low. It's terrible gas. It's like running on fumes. You're not going to be willing to dig in, to look deeper and stuff with that thought. You need a thought that gets you to dig a little deeper. Ask another question. Is there anything else I could have been thinking? And then the other one that I catch you guys doing all the time is I have to do this or I should do this. Very similar thoughts. When you're thinking about your assessments, you do not want to go into them thinking, well, I have to do this because Corinne said so. Flat right there. That sounds terrible. Your brain, that's never going to have sustained motivation. This is the problem with a lot of these thoughts, especially I have to do this or this won't matter. You may be able to willpower yourself into doing it. Like you might be able to override and force yourself to do it in the think, feel, do cycle, but eventually you won't. You'll have a day where you're just tired enough. You're just busy enough. You're just distracted enough. Something happens where you don't have as much time as you normally do. If it won't matter and you feel like you have to do this, now you're going to be thinking about this other thing that comes up thinking, well, I have to do this. So now I don't have to do this. We have to watch how we talk because what you want to do is you always want to be talking about things from a mindset that when the shit hits the fan, you're willing to do it. You already have the gas in the tank that isn't sitting there just waiting for an excuse. These things, what did I do wrong today? This won't matter. I have to do this. Same shit, different day. These thoughts, if you are using those actively right now with your assessments, then the moment the shit hits the fan, don't be surprised that you're unmotivated, unwilling, overwhelmed with your assessments. All of a sudden, it's like all these things you want me to do are so overwhelming. No, they're not. You've been running on fumes, and then when shit hits the fan, you have nothing left but to go to a grand excuse like, this, there's too much to do, which means like anything that won't matter or that's the same shit every day or where you're going to look at the things you're doing wrong or that you feel like you have to, guess what? On those days, they'll get deprioritized. They'll get kicked out the door first because you've already decided they're not important. This is what this does. It drains the importance factor out of your assessments. So here's my tips. Number one, a lot of you need to do your assessments in the mornings. So let me tell you how I do mine. Now, at the end of the day, you have to decide what kind of person you are. Some of you are morning people. Some of you are evening people. I am not an evening person. If I'm assessing in the evening, I am not going to be super insightful. I am at my energetic worst in the evening. I know my energy cycles. That's not when I want to do some of my most important work. To me, anytime that I am assessing and planning, that is my most important work I ever do for myself. It's how I get clear. It's how I know what to do. It's how I can spend my days not wasting time thinking about food so that I can be spending my time solving other problems and stuff. So I do my assessing first thing. I assess the day before, then I plan the next day. Some of you are not like that. Some of you do better by doing your wrap up at the end of the day. It's like you feel like it's a really good time for you to not be so food focused, to wind down your day, to learn. Look for where you're going to energetically feel your best. That's where I would do my assessing. But for a lot of us, our brain first thing in the morning is the brain that's operating a little bit cleaner than our brain that we went to bed with. So if that's you, go for it. Now, rather than thinking about what did I do wrong, or what was the first question? What did I do wrong? We're going to start with what did I do right? When you're assessing, part of celebrating and part of getting buy-in for your basics is teaching your brain that some things are going right. Our brains are naturally skewed when we're trying to change our life, when we're trying to do new things and stuff, is to look for what's wrong first. That's how they're wired to operate. So you'll have to consciously work in a new direction with your brain until we teach it how to start highlighting and spotlighting right things. That's why I ask you a lot of very positively framed questions in the 60-day planner, because our brains aren't naturally wired to look for those things. We definitely want to find our obstacles and stuff, guys, but not at the expense. This is where you know you really need to look for what went right first. If somebody says something to you and you assume something's wrong with you, if somebody looks at you a certain way and your idea of like their thought bubble is they're hard on you, like their thought bubble is a bunch of bullshit. They're critiquing, they're judging and stuff. If you watch the world and tend to think, you know, people have poor opinions of you, they must be thinking this, all that kind of stuff, you're probably somebody who could use doing a lot more work on finding what's going right in your life versus what's going wrong. The other thing is, what can I tweak? So a lot of you have this thought of, this won't matter. It's not true. I'm here to tell you, as the expert in the room, and your brain is not the expert in the room, that every tweak you make will matter. Every little thing you are willing to do to make a small shift, a bite here, leaving off bread over here, saying no to some mayonnaise, telling them give me half the cheese, anything you do, one more small bottle of water, I don't care what it is. Every little thing you do adds up in the bucket of losing all of your weight, because every little thing you do ends up needing to go into the bucket. Some of you just want to get a shovel and throw it all in there. And I'm like, let's just start dropping things in. Just start dropping things in. It is important for you to never think that something won't matter. They all do. It's like when y'all try to say, I only lost 1 pound. On my journey to losing 100, pound 57 had to get lost. Just like pound 58 and pound 59, each pound had to be lost at some point. Some weeks, a half of one came, left me. That's okay. I'm trending down. There's so many ways to think about it that don't leave you feeling not good enough. Like this is hard, insurmountable, and agreeing with your old bullshit. So everything is going to matter. What can I tweak? This one thing will matter. If you can't even go there with me, then you need to sit there and think, I would not be a no BS if my brain was already so right about so many things. All of you need to realize you're here. You're here because your brain is probably wrong about most of weight loss. Otherwise, you would have nailed weight loss out there and kept it off and maybe become your own fucking weight loss coach helping other people. I lost weight. I've helped a lot of people lose weight. Y'all pay me to help you lose weight. I have a business built on weight loss. And we've got 32 million downloads on the podcast. If you can't shake loose of it won't matter, then say, Corinne says it matters. Her brain probably is right. My brain might be full of old bullshit that I thought over and over again that I need to unlearn. So borrow my fucking brain until yours gets rewritten. That will always work for you. Also, I'm glad I'm doing this no matter what I think. Guys, when you guys sit around and think, I have to do this, it's a no. How about, I'm glad I'm doing this assessment, no matter what my brain is throwing up at me in this moment. And the last one, what else could have happened. When we're sitting around thinking the same shit, different day, this is where we have to push ourselves just a little bit. You have to like say, if I keep writing like on your discovery worksheets, I just want it for the last 40 overeats. It's not because you just want it. There is something else. So if it's not that I just want it, what else could it be? This is where you have to be willing to take guesses and be wrong. This is where you challenge yourself. Today, I'm not going to just write down, I just want it. If it wasn't, I just wanted to eat it, what else could have been going on? Did I just want a break? A lot of times we get so caught up that we just want the food that we don't even allow ourselves to say like, okay, I know I wanted the food, but what else did I want in the moment? Because if you're thinking, I just want it, it's the easiest question. It's like, all right, I just wanted to eat nachos, but what else was I wanting to have? A lot of times, like for me, when I just want something, I just want relief from thinking about food. I just want to have fun. There's a lot of things that when I'm really curious about it, I'm like, oh, I wanted more than just the food. So when you find those things, then you can ask yourself, all right, if I'm just wanting relief from the thought, I want this food, what is going on then? Am I arguing with my urges? Am I trying to be busy in a way that I don't really want to be busy in? Like, if I was going to do this a different way, if I was going to give myself something else, like, then you get some more fodder. That's stuff you can take to ask coaches. When you act, like, when you're writing the same shit every single day, dig in a little bit more. What? And I think that that is one of the ones that I see you guys say most often. So I just want it. So somebody said, I just want to be able to eat what I like. Red flag thought. Guess what that means? You're setting your eating lifestyle up to not eat the things you want. How often are you planning the things you want? Or are you still like, is this an opportunity to dig into like, do I really never get to eat the things I want? Or is that just something I'm telling myself in the moment? Do I need to tell myself, yesterday we had what we wanted? We don't have to just eat on our whim in this moment. This morning, we did want it. Like a lot of times you guys don't even realize that when you say, I just want to eat what I want right now, you don't even have a counter argument of if you've been planning food you love, you're not even reminding yourself, you know what? I totally forgot the last 3 days. I did eat the things I wanted. Here are the things I wanted. On plan or off, I definitely got to eat the things I wanted. So that's not even really true. It's not that I never get to eat the things I want. It's not that I'm not eating the things I want. I'm just listening to my habit thought. I'm not even challenging my habit thought. I'm not even offering to my brain, this morning you wanted it. Why did you want it this morning? What were all the really good reasons why you wanted it this morning? Because most of you aren't having those conversations in the moment. Most of you are just sitting there being like, I'm having this thought. Urges suck. It's going to take forever. I just wish this would pass. You guys, that is what you want to be writing on your discovery worksheet. What was the narrative behind it? Did you even counter the thought at least 30 times with good quality thinking? Or did you counter the thought a few times with poor quality thinking? Here's how we know if it's good quality thinking. It feels aware. It feels compassionate. It feels truthful. It feels calm. Here's how we know if it's poor quality. It feels argumentative. Frustrating. Sounds like a tantrum. It's scoldy, trilly. That's when we know we're having a poor conversation. So if you need to dig in, same shit, different day means what else could be going on? What else could have happened? What were the conversations like? And if you don't know, Here's what I do know. We all going to have some overeats. Next time you have one, get out a sheet of paper rather than just being like, oh my God, it comes again. I just want it. Rather than having all that negative mindset thing and say like, all right, we're going to get busy. I'm going to write down. I'm just going to sit here and write down like, what am I thinking right now? I just want it. What else? What else? What else? When I transcribe my brain on paper, if I still am choosing to eat, guess what? You can always have it. It's always up to you. It's always your choice, Corinne. But before you do it, give yourself the gift of wisdom so that tomorrow you got something to fucking look at rather than sitting around going like, I'm so frustrated. I never know why. I'm just writing the same shit every single day. Like, don't do that. Same shit every day is a warning. You need to get a little busier. Dig in. All right. So here are some things to watch out for. I didn't follow my plan. A lot of you will say that when you're assessing, like, I didn't follow my plan. And it will follow things like when you don't follow your plan, you'll say, I never follow my plan. I do really well, and then I just blow it. I'm not good at following my plan. You guys have these busted thoughts about not following your plan and then wonder why you don't want to dig in and assess because you feel like shit. Yes, y'all do really sound like that. Some of y'all are laughing because whenever I imitate y'all, it's always like exaggerated. One, it gets your attention. But yeah, you probably do sound like that. Probably in your head, that's what's going on. Like, I always just imagine my version of me. She kicks back in the corner, and she is so fucking whiny. And she's always like, I mean, she just talks like a total a-hole. So that's why I always do yell that way. All right. So watch for all or nothing thinking. If you didn't follow your plan, if you're sitting there thinking, I never follow my plan, is that true? Like, you need to ask yourself, all right, bitch, before we get to assessing, let's at least tell the truth. Do I never follow my plan, or do I follow my plan really well? And then at this time, like for dinner, like this is what I normally get when I get with you guys. You guys will be like, Corinne, just not losing weight. Like, I never follow my plan every day. I just never follow my plan. I'm like, well, do you follow it at breakfast? Well, yeah. Will you follow it at lunch? Well, yeah. What about dinner? Well, that's where it goes off the rails. It's like, okay, well, then let's just get real clear. Rather than sitting around in your all or nothing shitty ass diaper, why don't we just say this? I've noticed I could start working on dinner. I'm going to put all my focus on dinner. I'm already doing it well the rest of the day. Obviously, I have thoughts that allow me to follow my plan during these other times of day. So now I just need to figure out, what am I thinking then that's very different than what I'm thinking at night? What's different between the two? That gets you so much more traction than sitting around lying, I never follow my plan. Some of you do it really well Monday through Friday, and the only thing you need to do is get better at Saturday and Sunday, figuring out Saturday and Sunday, or you'll be like this. Well, I can follow it Monday through Friday, but I blow it all out of the water on the weekends. Shitty way to describe it. Y'all have got to watch your language. Whenever you're talking like a defeatist, you will defeat yourself over and over and over again. When you are curious, guess what? Curious people find answers. So when you're like, the only thing I need to do is figure out what's different between the weekends and the weekdays without my bullshit novella drama. If I just look at my weekends without big whopping descriptors, let's find out, how am I describing my weekends? Let's clean all that up. Let's figure out the thinking that's different between the weekday and the weekend. Let's get that going in the right direction. And then let's figure out, how does that change how I show up if I start thinking differently? That's all that has to happen. Let's say that you're not following your hunger cues. A lot of you will say, like, I suck at enough. I'm like terrified of being hungry. It's like, rather than thinking those things, you could be asking good questions. Like, let's think about hunger cues. Rather than, if you're noticing you're not doing them and stuff, rather than saying, I suck, I've never, like, I don't know how, any of the other crap, then I want you to sit there and I want you to think, I'm figuring out my body. Are there any cues I do notice? Because a lot of times y'all will tell me you notice none. And then I will like ask you on a coaching call and you'll know some, but you're so determined that you suck at following them. Just because you're not following them, then you automatically assume you don't know them. You give yourself no credit. So when you're assessing, it's a lot about asking good questions, watching for how often you're describing it terribly. My thing is, if you're not following your hunger cues, the number one is, do you do some? Then get super familiar with the some that you do. That will get you so much traction so that you get really good at noticing them. And then when those first start, if you're waiting for hunger, I would encourage you to wait 10 minutes. If you're not sure, just wait 10 minutes and pay attention during that 10 minutes to, does any physical symptom change? Anything slight. Maybe nothing does. Maybe something will. But the nice thing is if you will wait 10 minutes, you give yourself the chance to pay a little bit more attention. What do you notice? Same thing with enough. If you're not sure, don't keep eating. If you're like, I'm not sure I've had enough, stop. Wait 10 minutes. Get more used to your body. Listen for what it's saying. Because here's the thing. At the end of 10 minutes with hunger or with enough, you have the power, the choice, and the right to eat. All of you need to remember this. Because what most of you do is when you're going to wait 10 minutes, you're like, I can't eat for 10 minutes. I don't know what my hunger cues are. This is so hard. That is the language that you use around it. And when you're using that language, it feels exponentially harder. My challenge to you is to tell yourself, I have the right, I have the choice to wait 10 minutes and then I get to eat. If I really want it, all I want to do is get to know my body a little bit. And even if I feel like I've had enough, and even if I feel like I am hungry, but I'm not ready to listen, then right now I'm just ready to listen for the signals so that on the day when I'm courageous and brave and willing, I know what to listen for. And I may try it then. We're stair-stepping our way up. We're leveling into all of this. Some of you will be ready out the gate. Some of you will not be. Doesn't matter. Because every single person has to go through the same path. Which is every single person has to figure out their hunger cues. And at some point, every single person has to decide, are they going to wait or are they going to eat? That is everybody's rite of passage. Some of us just do it on a different timeline and that's okay. It doesn't matter. Like this is really for a lot of my girls that have a lot of disordered eating going on. A lot of weight to lose going on, that kind of stuff. I think a lot of times you guys get stuck in thinking, if I keep eating for now by listening, like that's not good enough. Or like, it's going to take me so much longer to lose weight. I promise you, when you get really good at giving yourself this option and you create a lot of food safety, you might spend an extra 2 to 3 weeks getting comfortable with noticing, and then that willingness kicks in. 2 to 3 weeks, I promise all of you. There were so many things that I took my sweet ass time on when I was losing weight. Not one time after I lost my 100 pounds did I look and go like, man, it took me like 18 months. I sure wish it had only took 17. The version of you that's feeling more confident, that's losing her weight, that's learning how to be there for herself, that's working on commitment, self-love, caring, all that stuff, when you're doing that all the way through weight loss, you will not be in a rush anymore to get there. And when you get there, you're going to be so thrilled to be there and so thrilled with the version of you you created. You are going to be so grateful that you took the time. I promise you guys, lose it the way that I tell you. And when you end up, you will not be worrying about tons as yet. You will not be thinking about how long it took. You'll be so grateful for the first time in your life you decided to really care about yourself. You'll have that relationship and you'll be focused on it. You won't even have time for that other crap. The only reason, like right now, we just need to overcome the version of you that's in such a rush and get you so focused on, like, how do I care for myself? How do I want to change my relationship with myself? How do I want to talk to myself? How do I want to create food safety for myself? How do I want to do these things? And that's all part of the assessments and stuff. The other thing is, a lot of times you guys will say nothing went well. You'll have one mistake and you'll make it mean nothing's going well. You won't be meeting your expectations of how long it should be taking. You won't be meeting your expectations as to how much you should have lost. You won't be like 1,001 things. Be honest. It's not that nothing is going well. What is? For some of you, honestly, you know what's going well? You're still here. In the past, you would have given up. In the past, you would have been like, peace out. There's some small voice in you that is saying, like, when she talks, it makes sense. I know that when she's saying these things, it makes sense. I'm still here working on it. If that's what you've got, that's what you've got. But most of you probably have other things. Keep looking at sleep and water, the little ways that you're changing. You've got to turn on the reticular activation system. That's that part of your brain that is the filter for the world. If nothing's going well, your brain then highlights the shit show of your life. It shows you everything that's in the way. It shows you why you're overwhelmed. It shows you why you're too busy. It shows you all of your mistakes. It blows mistakes out of proportion. It turns one thing into a catastrophe. And when you say nothing's going well, it will play out in the rest of your life. You will dismiss anything that's going right. You will downregulate over and over again. If you get home from work and traffic was light, instead of celebrating traffic was light, you'll get home and think, yeah, it won't be that way tomorrow. That's called nothing goes well. When nothing's going well, I cannot even take a moment to find peace and gratitude in anything. I figure out a way to sabotage all that's right because it has to match what I keep telling myself. So make sure that you are telling yourself, all right, when I want to be all or nothing with nothing's going well, say, like, is that really true? What could be going right? Even if it's hard to admit. Like, it's hard for me to even want to believe this is progress because I am so used to thinking I can't lose weight. It feels like if I tell myself this, like I'm letting myself off the hook. How dare I let myself feel good for a moment while I'm trying to lose weight? You have to watch for those things. Coach Yesenia said something so brilliant while we were at camp this weekend. We did a panel where we interviewed success stories. And she, one of her power thoughts was, I'd rather be inching forward than going backward. Sometimes in weight loss, that's all we're doing. There are some weeks where we've got to inch forward. We've got to find the smallest of progress points. When I had 6 week stalls on the scale, I had to look for what are the things that I'm doing different in my life that I'd never done before, because I had to cling to the idea that if I was going to change my life, I had to be willing to be in it for the result that my life was changed, not that the scale moved every single week. How did I want to live? How did I want to think? Who did I want to be? That was the result I really wanted, which meant that on the weeks when the scale didn't move, when there were mistakes happening, I had to hang on to the idea that here's the progress points. We never want to go back to who we were because she was a miserable soul. I was miserable. And it wasn't because of my weight. It's because I ate through every problem. I didn't have the courage to speak up for myself. I didn't believe that life could work out for me. I sat around figuring out how I would always fail, what was hard for me. My life was a drag until I decided to start thinking differently about my life and letting my food and my movement and stuff catch up to my new mindset. So make sure you're celebrating your little things every day. Any moment you catch yourself doing something different, you owe it to yourself to say something. Don't let it pass. And never devaluate your progress. Just like Coach Yesenia says, 2 inches forward is better than going backward. You've got to look for the little things. Only you're going to find them. Don't wait for the world to notice. That's not their job. The world's job is not to watch you, applaud you, and pat your ass on the back. The world is supposed to be doing their own thing. If you want hoorahs and kudos, nice jobs, you're doing it or whatever, don't expect someone else to do it if you're not doing it for yourself. Because the moment they give it to you, you won't believe it. You won't believe it unless you were telling yourself that stuff. All right, so let me pull up today's call to action. Call to action today is, let me scroll back down. Look at your plan today. And I want you to notice when you are and aren't stopping at enough. I want you to take one actionable step to change your approach and write it on tomorrow's plan. I want you to make sure that you notice and celebrate anything you've got going on the bottom of your plan. Guys, this is just really important. There's probably no more important lesson that I've given you so far than this one. It's all about how you talk to yourself about the basics. The basics can't get done unless the conversation in your head is willing to change. All right, guys. Y'all have a good one. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Bye, y'all.